Hello and welcome to Pickleball Therapy, the podcast dedicated to your pickleball improvement. My name is Tony Roy. I am your host of this weekly podcast, which is dedicated to your pickleball mind. We're dedicated to your pickleball in general, but with a specific focus on your pickleball mind. This is what CJ Johnson and I call the athletic pillar inside of all of our coaching. And there's three pillars, as you may or may not know: mechanical, strategic, and athletic. And in this podcast, we are focused primarily on the athletic pillar, which is your body and mind. Now, that said, this week we're actually bringing back a former segment of this podcast called The Riff. One of our pickleball therapy therapists let us know that The Riff meant something to them. So we are going to bring it back. And what I'd like for you to do, if you can, is let us know, is this something that you like? If you feel strongly about it one way or the other, send me an email at therapy@betterpickleball.com. Put in the subject line, The Riff, if you would. I believe it has two S. And let me know if this is something that you enjoy, The Riff segment at the end of the podcast. In The Riff, I'm going to be chatting about paddles and basically our mindset when it comes to paddles. In the main section, we're going to be talking about the never say die mindset. And this is interesting because this is where the pillars overlap. You know, there are three pillars, but it's not like they stand alone all the time. There's a lot of overlap between them. For instance, when you think about the mechanical pillar, there's things that you have to do with your body in order to play pickleball. Well, the athletic pillar is the body mind, right? And the body and the mind. So let's say the stronger that your legs are, for instance, right, the better you're able to stay down in your dinks and get down for the low shots. The longer you're able to do that, the better you're able to play. So everything works together. And what we're talking about this week is going to be the never say die mindset in a rally, right? Specific to rallies. And I'll explain that in a minute. But if you think about it, it's an interesting overlap between the strategic pillar and the athletic pillar, because the strategic pillar is, you know, what gives me the best chance for success, right? What's the highest chance for success in a game? And if you have this mindset, which is the mind, you're going to give yourself the highest chance for success strategically as well. So again, overlap between these pillars, and understanding that all three are necessary and working on all three is how you're going to really maximize your potential as a pickleball player. I just looked we capture this. If you don't know this, we capture this on YouTube as well. So there's a YouTube channel called Pickleball Therapy and a podcast called Pickleball Therapy. So you can listen to it on a podcast or watch it on YouTube if you choose. And I just realized that behind me, I've hung up a shirt that one of our team members, Patty, sent me. And thank you, Patty, for the shirt. It's very cool. And it says, "Warning, I'm a poacher." It was based on a series of videos that we did on the YouTube channel that created a lot of interest about poaching, even though, frankly, the videos were not about poaching. A poacher was involved in the videos, but the videos were about decision-making and things like that. So a little bit different angle. But thank you very much for the shirt. It's a very cool shirt. All right, let's dive into the podcast and talk about the never say die mindset. So think about, when you're playing out there, there are times when we're going to be in trouble, right? There's times that we're going to be reeling, we're going to be on our heels, right? The other team has the upper hand. The question is, what do we do, right? What do we do in that situation? And I was reminded of this thought process in watching a PPA match. It was the finals between Andre Daescu and Anna Bright against the strongest mixed doubles team in the history of pickleball, Ben Johns and Annalee Waters. I don't remember their exact record, but they haven't been beaten, I think, since I was 22 or something like that. It's been a long time since they've lost a match. And this was a gold medal match at the Austin tournament, I believe it was. I'll put a link down in the show notes if you want to check out the match. Although if you watch it, I'm going to recommend you do it a certain way. So I'm going to give you a specific instruction in a few minutes on how to watch it. But and let me be clear, I'm going to give you an instruction that you're welcome to use or not use. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. But if you want to get the most out of watching it and growing your eye for this type of thing, then I'll give you a suggestion. How about that? All right. So it was the final match. Like I said, it's 3 out of 5 as they play in that format there. So the best 3 out of 5 games. And frankly, it wasn't even close. Like it wasn't even, I mean, the second game, you know, I guess Annalie and Ben did a little better, but the match was very, very, very one-sided in favor of Daisuke and Anna Bright. And Daisuke, I happen to, I don't know him well personally. I've said hi to him a few times at tournaments, but he's from Florida. And so I've seen him in the Florida circuit for many years. And I know he's, you know, he's been a player that's worked at his game for a long time. Like he comes from a strong background of tennis. He played Davis Cup for his country and things like that. But he is a, you know, he's been at pickleball but probably about as long as I have, maybe a little bit long, maybe a little bit shorter, a little longer, but still a while. But he's really worked at his game. You know, for a while, you know, I think he still plays APP events, which is great. But I think the PPA, your crowd kind of like was like, well, you know, Daisuke, yeah, he's good at the PPA, APP, but not PPA. That's a different level. And so he comes to the PPA event, wins the men's doubles gold with Matt Wright, right? So awesome there. And then wins the mixed doubles in very convincing fashion. But what I want to focus in on with Daisuke, and I'll give Anna Bright credit as well, but I really want to focus on Daisuke because Daisuke is also, I don't know his exact age, but he's one of the older players on the court. I think, but he has to be the oldest player on that court, pretty sure. But he, actually, 100% sure. He's the oldest player on that court. But if you watch him play, he is on the court. He is the fiercest extender of the rally. Like he is, talk about never say die mindset. And I want to hone in on a few specifics of what he does to extend rallies. First of all, you know, he is always putting himself physically in the best position given the situation. And what I mean by that is, you know, if he has an opportunity to be offensive as a player, then you'll see him move forward and be offensive. If he's in a situation, if his team is in a situation that doesn't merit that, right, doesn't warrant that, then you'll see Andre put himself in a defensive position, right? Which means generally means farther back in the court. So at the baseline, behind the baseline, you know, as far back as possible in order to be able to better defend against the potential offense that's coming against his team. And you'll see him, and he's I think 6'5", I believe. He's a tall player, you know, but the way he commits to going after balls and to keep extending rallies, he is, like I said, it's a mindset thing. It's not just, you know, strategically, I know that if I extend the rally, I give myself the best chance for winning. It's you know, it's basically, to him, it's become second nature, I'm pretty sure, that he's never going to let a rally end without him doing the best that he can to put his paddle on that ball. So you have court position is really important there. Another thing that he does very well is his awareness of the net. So if you're trying to extend rallies, and we've talked about the net before on this podcast, and we have several videos on it, it's a big topic because that's one of those areas of the game that you actually do have control over. And there's a lot of things in pickleball you cannot control. You know, you can't control your partner. I mean, you can make suggestions if they're a partner you can talk to, but you can't control your partner, can't control your opponents, can't control the wind. You can control the way that you think about the net and the way that you come at the net, right? And if you watch Daisuke playing, Andre playing, he, as he gets closer to the net, yeah, you can see it, well, let me say, he gets closer to the net, you'll see his paddle flare open, so open up a lot. It's almost parallel to the court. It looks parallel to the court because he's trying to get a lot of loft on that ball. He knows that there's only one player he can't beat, and that's the net, right? Player in quotes, that's the net. He can beat Ben Johns, he did. He can beat Annalie Waters. He and Anna did, right? He and Anna Bright did, right? So they beat them both, right? The best team. But the net, unbeatable. So Andre knows that, right? And that's not just strategic, right? Because he knows, okay, the net, I can't beat the net. It's a mindset. He's saying to himself, I am not going to let that net beat me. Ben can beat me. Annalie can beat me. That net is not going to beat me. And what I was getting to is if you watch the match, you'll see when he gets in trouble, the ball's low and he's close to the net, you'll see like his paddle looks like he's trying to like pull a pizza out of a pizza oven or something. Like basically he opens it down a lot and flares it super open. And it's really obvious to see it. It's very obvious, right? It's really graphically, it's or visually, it's very easy to see what he's doing. And then the last thing I want to mention about Andre is, you know, it's just this idea that I'm going to make you hit one more ball. My shot doesn't have to be perfect. Okay. I don't have to hit a perfect shot to win the rally. And this harkens back. We did an episode, I'll put it in the show notes, but it's an episode about pickleball being messy, being a messy sport. And it is a messy sport. It's a, you know, it's messy in terms of, you know, the rallies are messy and, you know, things happen that are, you know, sometimes in your favor, sometimes not. But, you know, there's not a lot of rallies in pickleball that are like textbook perfect. Like everybody played, you know, the most amazing pickleball and the rally ended. Usually there's some muck in there. There's a little bit of mess. And Andre doesn't mind that. Andre, you know, he's fine with that. And he's just saying, I'm just going to extend the rally. I'm going to make you hit one more ball and one more ball and one more ball. And in this match, what you'll see is you'll see Ben and Elise start pressing, right? Because they start feeling the pressure of Andre's, and Anna, again, I'm not trying to take anything from Anna. I'm just focusing on Andre because it was just so obvious what he was doing and how he was approaching it. But he, you know, he just kept extending rallies and you'll see Ben start blowing balls up out of bounds and Elise starts pressing and hitting balls into the net. It's just like frustrating, right? And so when you think about that yourself, that can be you, right? In terms of how you approach the game, you become that player who the other teams go, oh no, you know, I'm going to have to hit 17 balls in order for this rally to be done. And I'll tell you, I got to play yesterday with my friend and fellow coach inside the Better Pickleball ecosystem and a fellow competitor. We're going to play together at the US Open this year. And we played against a few different teams were kind enough to give some of their time to play against us to get us ready to go. And, you know, some of these players, they're, you can see the players who just keep the ball going and going and going. And it becomes frustrating, you know, to play against that, right? Because you have to keep your discipline as a player. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But that idea of extending the rally, it's a mindset piece, you know, being aware of the net. You know, knowing, okay, I'm going to just put a paddle on this. I'm going to keep going and going as long as, you know, I'm going to keep extending the rally as long as I can, will really change how you play, and how your opponents view you as a competitor. Again, I'll put a link to that match below in the show notes. You can check it out. If you want to watch the match, I recommend really focusing on Andre, you know, in terms of, how you're going to get the most out of this process. If you want to start seeing something different. You know, enjoy some of the stuff, but try and really stay focused on Andre and watch Andre, watch everything he does, watch how he moves, watch how he uses his paddle, and watch how, you know, there's no ball that is going to get hit by Ben or Anna Lee that Andre and Anna, again, no, nothing against her, but really got to focus here, is not going to like do his best to try and get back over the net into play again. So anyway, so that's the idea. Never say die mindset, right? From the bond thinking. And it's a really good way that you can just become a more fierce competitor by applying something very specific to your mind that will translate to your play. All right. In the riff, I'm going to chat about paddles and my thoughts on paddles. So stay tuned for the riff. As the pickleball season begins in earnest in spring, probably a great time to check your shoes and make sure that they're not worn. And I'm not just talking on the bottoms with holes in the bottoms. I'm talking about compression in the midsole. If your shoes are older than about 6 months, double check them. Make sure they're not going to hurt your legs or your feet. And if you're in need of shoes, check out the shoes from our friends at Tyro Pickleball, the only shoe specifically designed for pickleball. I'll put the code down below, BP10. Use it at checkout. All right, let's talk about paddles. My favorite topic, paddles. And in all seriousness, paddles obviously are super important to our game. You know, they're the tool that we use when we're out on the pickleball court. Just recorded a video for the YouTube channel Into Pickle that we have that has to do with lead tape, right? And it's a friendly guide to how to think about lead tape and how to apply lead tape to your paddle. I'll put that link down below. You can find it at Into Pickle as well, just on YouTube. And if you review that, you know, you're doing some research, reviewing some materials, and so I started going down the paddle rabbit hole a little bit. And some of our fellow creators have created some really good additional supplemental kind of information on lead tape in terms of analyses on the machine that handles the swing weight and the twist weight. and then also the specific weights of different types of tape and different sizes. So we link to that inside the video. So I was gathering that information, but you know, I started to see some of the other content that's being put out on paddles. And it's interesting content. Don't get me wrong. It's interesting to see what's going on, you know, with Kevlar, with raw carbon, with all these different things. But I will suggest to you that there is a limit to the impact that a paddle is going to have on your play. And what I mean by that is when you think about your play, big picture, right? When you think about your play, you want to ask yourself, like, what is the impact that a paddle is going to have versus something else? And that something else usually is improving a shot technique, improving an understanding, right? Because you could have, you know, the let's assume that you have the best built, best, you know, just the best design, best built, best everything paddle, right? It has the highest grit, the best core, the best surf paddle face. I mean, you've done your research and you found it. This is the holy grail of paddles, right? But you know, you have a flaw in your volley mechanic, let's say. Paddle's not going to do anything for you there, right? Same thing if you have a flaw, a major strategic flaw, okay, in terms of how you view your or how you approach your game, right? Whether it's your return side, your serve side, whatever it is you're doing, right? And you have a major strategic flaw. Again, paddle is not going to bail you out of that. So if you think about it, like in terms of priorities, you know, understanding the game strategically, right? And that's that FOSS approach that we talk about inside our coaching. So framework, objectives, strategy, and shots, right? In that order. If you don't have framework and objectives, you can have the holy grail paddle, not going to bail you out. Mechanical issues, not going to bail you out. Athletic pillar issues, right? So, you know, your mind is cloudy because, you know, you're still working on your mental processes, right? Paddle's not going to bail you out. Same thing, your body's tired, you know, you can't get down for the shot. Paddle's not going to do it for you, right? Can't get down for you. So, you know, I when you think about paddles, I think it's important to find a paddle that's right for you. And what I would suggest focusing on there, generally speaking, is you want a paddle that's not too heavy for you, right? That's really key because you don't want to hurt yourself with a paddle. You know, you could have a holy grail paddle, meaning like everything is magnificent in the paddle. It's the best built paddle in the history of paddles, but it's too heavy for your body, right? Not going to be good for you because it's going to hurt you. You know, so you're better off going with a, you know, paddle that's not the holy grail, but doesn't hurt you, right? That makes sense. So weight is super, super, super important. You know, paddle grip size is super important as well. Make sure it's a paddle grip that you're comfortable holding. It doesn't hurt your arm. It's not too big, not too small. And you can think about that in terms of like gripping a pencil, it'd be too small. Gripping a water bottle is too big. Obviously, I've gone to the extremes. But, you know, you want a paddle that fits in your hand comfortably. Usually, you can use your pinky from the offhand, kind of fit it in between your finger and your palm. That's a pretty good guide. Quarter inch, something like that is decent guide in terms of spacing there. But so grip and weight are super important. And then, you know, it's a paddle that feels good to you when you hit it. That's going to be great. That's going to be super valuable. And it's a paddle that makes you happy. You know, there's not enough said about that. Just a paddle you pull out of your bag, you're like, man, I'm so happy to have this paddle. Fantastic. You know, that'll make your mind happy, right? And so those are characteristics of a paddle that I think are more valuable than getting bogged down in. It's got raw carbon fiber. Now they're doing what, Kevlar mixed with like carbon fiber. I mean, it's just, there's always going to be something, you know, there's going to be a little hole in the throat. And not a criticism, but as an example, I got a comment on a video we did about paddles. And there was a question about the hole inside the Selkirk paddle that happened to be in that video. And I answered the question. And there was another question. I answered that question. And then there was a third question. And the question kept on being, do you think the hole's a gimmick? And I answered it a couple of times. And I was like, well, this is just being repetitive now. So I stopped answering. But the point is, this player was bogged down in like the hole and the paddle. And kind of, who cares? You know, at the end of the day, it does make a little bit of a difference, but not that big a deal. Like I said, it's not going to bail you out from any of these other things. So if you really want to play better, right? And generally, when players are looking for new paddles, my experience has not been that the player is looking for a paddle because the paddle that they have is hurting them or something like that. If you're looking for a paddle because your paddle's hurting you or doesn't feel good or something like that, great, keep going, please. And as I mentioned earlier, our friends at Total Pickleball help you out. They have a great selection and they're good folks over there. They've been around sports forever. They're part of Tennis Warehouse and they've been around forever. Anyway, so if you're looking for a paddle for that, great. If you're looking for a paddle because you think it's going to change your game, it's what you need to level up or something, that is not a good that's just frankly not a good thought process. It's not a thought process going to be productive, I guess. If you want to buy it because you want to buy it for yourself and it makes you feel happy or something, you know, fine, that's fine. But don't kid yourself and say, you know, I buy this paddle. This is what I need, right? This is the secret sauce that I need, because that's not what you need. There's going to be other things that are going to be higher value. And we're really going to give you the results that you want. So it'll meet your expectations more. So anyway, that's this week's podcast. We went a little bit over because we included the riff. So hope you enjoyed the length of the podcast as well as the format of this podcast. Again, send me an email at therapy@betterpickleball.com. They both go to tony@betterpickleball.com anyway, so it works as well. Put it on the subject line, the riff. Let me know if this is something that you enjoyed or did not enjoy, this riff, and then we can proceed accordingly. Because at the end of the day, as much as I enjoy making this podcast is about you, the pickleball player, trying to provide you information that is helpful to you and will, just make your pickleball journey a more complete and happier one as much as we can. If you enjoyed the podcast, please consider rating and reviewing it wherever you listen to podcasts. And as always, please share it with your friends. If you enjoy the podcast, they probably will too. I hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time on our Pickleball Therapy podcast.